Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. And tonight I have with me Janet Hurd and myself. Sky and A. Michelle are away tonight, and hopefully we'll be able to keep this going in fine fashion without them. Wanting to say hello to everyone and wishing everyone had a wonderful week thus far. What's happening, Janet?
Hey, it's been beautiful. The weather's been beautiful. And the rain and all, I don't complain. Everything is beautiful.
Excellent. Yeah, I had an interesting week myself, but I was I'm transitioning from one phase of life into another, and so today ended one of those phases, and it was bitter and it was sweet, but you know, life goes on and we move on. Tonight we have open mic. And open mic kind of goes like this. Whatever the questions are, Janet and I will do our best to give you an answer that you can walk away with feeling like, you know, hey, that was some substance. The floor is always open. Your mics are open to your questions. And we ask that everyone is courteous and respectful. Our rule here is you can give your name if you like. You can make up a name if you like. You can give your the area code of your phone number in the last four digits so we know who we're responding to. This is a safe space, and whatever is said here remains here. So, how's everybody out there? Let's start right out with any questions. Anyone have a question? And I have a couple that was sent to me via email, so for those people who are afraid to talk on their own. You know, you always have them.
Okay.
Well, I'll put one of those questions out. One of the questions is, what do you do when you can't help yourself from backsliding back into relationships that you know aren't good for you? And how do you stop yourself from getting involved in that?
Wow, that's an awesome question. Excellent question, actually. It takes willpower. It takes me looking back on, and what tends to happen many times when we're in predicaments or situations like that, I think it's because we focus on the happy times, the happy moments, the times that we laughed and we, you know, just had all the good things together. We focus on that and you begin to miss, well, you know, I remember how she used to hold me and how she used to this and whatever, and we start longing for that, totally forgetting all of the things that why you left or why the relationship severed or whatever. You know, we tend to focus on that. And I just think that we need to stay focused on moving forward, because if the relationship was worth salvaging during that time, I think it probably would have. If it was something, if it was worth saving, it would have been something that you would either stay in or try to work out, you know, whatever the case may be. Yes, it gets hard, and I think it's only because we as humans, we get lonely and we begin to, you know, start, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we start entertaining these thoughts that make us, I don't know, you know, nobody else may not want me, or I'm too small, or I'm too little, or I'm too fat, or I'm too tall, or whatever the case may be. I'm not quite where I need to be, so nobody really gonna want to deal with me. At least they was tolerant of, you know, whatever. Yes, we had some bad moments, but I care, I still love her, and whatever. Those things right there is all the things that will make you want to start reconsidering when really when what you came out of was very mentally, emotionally, you know, spiritually, whatever, abusive to your soul, to your spirit, man. You know, because a lot of those things that people have said to you is enough to really, really go with you to your grave. Sometimes people can be that harsh. In order to get past that, I would say that's something that you need to find ways, to, productive ways, to move forward. Not dwell on those things. Whenever those thoughts come to your mind, you can instantaneously remove them and put something else there. You have to learn how to fill that void with something else that is productive. That's going to help you grow. If anything in your life that is not productive and it is not aiding you where you are growing from it, you need to let it go. Don't look back. Just keep moving forward.
Okay there. I agree with a lot of what Janet was saying. I also would challenge you to really pull back the layers of that relationship and really look at it in, you know, fully look at it. Like Janet was saying, sometimes we only look at the positive things about a relationship, but you have to look at that relationship how it was as a whole. You also have to ask yourself, are you just getting back together because you're comfortable with one another and getting back together without having worked out whatever the issues were that you had that caused you to be apart, which could be something that will react like a boomerang in your relationship. You'll just keep going through the same cycles because you haven't fixed anything. You're just going back and saying, let's start again. But you really can't start again. You can't build new things on top of old things, especially if the structure isn't strong. So I would say to be fair to yourself, because I wrote earlier today, one of the hardest mistakes and one of the things that cause you the most pain are the painful things that you take yourself through. And so, and that's going back into a relationship without having cleared the air, without having worked out what the problems were, is you now creating self-inflicting wounds. So I would say, as Janice said, to be mindful of what it was in the relationship that caused problems and ask yourself, have we worked past those things? Any other questions out there? Any comments to the question that has already been placed out there in the open? Okay, we'll move on. Jenny, do you have any questions that anyone may have put out to you? And we can place some answers out there.
Well, I don't have a question anybody had put out there, but I did post something today. Not so much a question, but it can be turned into a question about different relationships and the different things, different issues that comes along with people. Whether they by themselves or into a relationship, when you come into a relationship, it's like everybody has something. Okay, what it is, something that they've dealt with or something that they're dealing with, some type of issue. Whether it's been issues, you have issues with abandonment. Or, past drug addiction, drug abuse, sexual abuse, any of those type of issues that you have had, have once upon a time had, you come into a relationship with someone and then you still have some issue. May not be so much of a detrimental type of thing, but it is something that could cause an issue in your relationship, whether it's abandonment, you have a mental issue, dealing with depression or whatever the case may be. I guess if I was to put it into a question, I would probably say, how does one that, say for instance, if they had like a mental illness and they tried to like hide it from someone that they were with, You know, they try to brush it off as something minor or something minute because they know in the past, you know, people would, you know, charge it or hold it against them and really try to beat them up with their condition. So they probably made, you know, this thing in their head and said, well, next relationship, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want anybody to hurt me and throwing it up in my face about my mental illness. I'm just saying this because I know of a situation like this. So I'm saying, you know, how does one know if, entering into a relationship, how would you know, or what is it that you can, what signs do you look for in determining someone has some type of serious issue with that? And if so, what do you do? How do you handle it?
Well, one of the things I always say here on the show is that dating and getting to know one another is extremely important. And if you take some time and take your time during the dating process, see, there are certain things that a person can't hide all the time. If you spend enough time with them, you start to see cracks in the mask. Because a person can't pretend 24/7. And when you see flags, you have to take them in. You can't just dismiss them like, oh, it's a kink and it'll work itself out. You have to understand that potentially could be a part of that person's makeup. If that person has bad days and when they're around people, they take it out on everyone, and you see that ongoing consistently, that's a person. Mm-hmm. That's a part of that person's character, and they're gonna do it, and it'll even swing around eventually to you. So you have to take time, and a lot of times people feel as though, like you said, Janet, they don't want to divulge too much information because they are feeling like they have to put their best face forward. So sometimes people come in wearing masks, but as stated, every now and then there's a crack in that mask that will show some light or dark that may not be something that you're willing to deal with. Mm-hmm. I once had a friend, she was transgender, but never stated that she was transgender. And the way that people found out about it was probably more devastating to them when they discovered it than if she had just said she was transgender. And the person that she was dating had no idea that she was transgender until they got to the point where they were going to be intimate. And then, of course, they had to tell what was going on because they hadn't had all of the surgical procedures. So those kinds of things you can't do. Those kinds of things are forms of deception and are unfair. It's unfair to realize that you have spent all of this time thinking you were getting to know someone, and when you guys have decided, well, you know what, I think this is going to be, so let me just see what we're like together in a sexual, intimate way, because that's important. We need to be good at that also, because I can't overlook it. That's an important thing for me. And then before you can get there, I have to tell you something. You love me, right? And we're going to be together, right? Well, yeah, I love you. Yeah. And I think that we can really, well, I'm really a man. But I'm transitioning to be a woman. No, you have to give that person an opportunity to be able to make a decision if they want to be in that relationship under those circumstances. So they felt deceived. So you have to date long enough and not jump in to your relationships thinking that, well, you know, this is who it's going to be, and I'm in love, and I saw some pictures, and we have good conversation over the phone, and when we're together having dinner for a couple of hours, everything is wonderful and everything is blissful, and then get into that relationship, and you have now entered the twilight zone. You have to date long enough, and when you're dating, you have to go inside one another's homes. If you eventually think you're going to live together, then you have to know how they live.
Mm-hmm.
Because after they're in there, that it's too late. Depending on what kind of
in.
You're some mm-hmm. people will just put you out.
Okay.
If you have health issues, you need to share them. I wouldn't say on your first date, but if you see that you really are starting to really get involved with one another and really starting to dig one another, I think you have to divulge some of that information.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just, people have to learn to be honest and trust that they're going to be loved for who they are. If they don't feel like they're going to be loved for who they are, they're already behind the eight ball.
Hmm.
If when I was dating my wife, I couldn't tell her or I couldn't show her who I was, it would have been so shameful for me to then let my hair down after the fact and then wonder why she's tripping and bugging and doesn't understand me and doesn't want to be with me. Well, I didn't show you who I was because I didn't trust that you would like who I was, so I deceived you. I mean, you can't fix that any other way. Deception is deception. If you didn't show who you were, you didn't say what was going on, you didn't say that you have some mental health issues, but you're on medication and you're perfectly fine when you're on your medication, you just can't get off your medication kind of thing, then you're being deceptive. Again, you don't need to divulge that on the first date.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't build trust on deceit.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments out there? Any questions?
Well, I have one. It's kind of along. You were talking about that love thing, and I guess my question is, how does one know that they're in love versus maybe just in a strong like?
Xander, you want to take
something
first?
Okay, as for me, that's all I can say. I can speak for. I mean, I know when I'm really, really liking someone. If I'm liking someone, if it's a strong liking, say we've been talking, whatever, of course you look forward to talking to that person again, you know, what have you, and you get to know that person. The more time you spend with that person, you grow in like with that person. And sometimes we get to the point where we confuse a strong like with being, you know, in love with a person. To me, being in love with someone versus being in like of someone is a whole nother level, a whole nother degree. That, to me, for me, is when I wake up in the morning, she's my first thought. You know, my first thought is, you know, let me, you know, text her good morning or, you know, whatever. I'm wondering what she's doing throughout the course of the day. I'm thinking of ways to make her smile continuously, not just for the moment, but something to make her smile continuously. And for me, was it healthy or not healthy? I'm just telling you, speaking my truth. You know, she's the person that, you know, I just basically want to be around. You know, I want to see her smile. I want to see her. I want to make her laugh. I want to, I just want her to be happy. You know, anything that concerns her concerns me. That's what love is. That's what love does. If you like somebody, it's almost like, well, I don't want to say crush. Crush is kind of shallow. But when you liking somebody, you still in that stage of, oh, I like it. I like her. And she's, you know, she's sweet. She's cute. She's, you know, whatever. I like her. You know? So, but when, but that like wants to know more about that person. It keeps you going to get to know more about this person because you like that. Whatever it is about them, you're being drawn to them. That's not love. It's you're just attracted to them for wanting more. It keeps you wanting more of this person to really see what they're like and being around them, you know, or whatever, because you really, really have this strong liking for this person. But like I said, love goes to a whole nother level. It's in your heart. I mean, you actually can, the things that they do affects you, whether it's good or whether it's bad, it can affect you. If you just like somebody, not to say it won't affect you, it might cause you to be either happy or disappointed, but you're not damaged by it. You know, love has a tendency to really mess you up if you're not careful. I mean, emotionally, like won't do that. It's easier to drop a like and keep it moving versus somebody that you really, really intensely has feeling for and loving. It's going to take some a little bit more to distract yourself from it.
Yeah, I think that I will once again, man, Janet, we on agreement tonight. Normally we on opposite ends, but yeah. I would say that when you like someone, even if you call it a strong like, you know, we try to add words to things to give it more of a meaning, but it really doesn't change you know, the actuality of what it is. When you like someone, you can see them maybe once a year, and they may or may not come across your mind anymore again until you see them again and say, oh, hey, that's so-and-so, I really like them, let me go over there and say hello, and those kind of things. Or you may occasionally pick up a phone and say, hey, I was just thinking about you, wanted to check in, and hang up the phone, catch up a little, and hang up the phone. When you're in love with someone, it's such a psychological, it has such a psychological and physical impact on you that it's very clear to know the difference between like, no matter how strong it is, and love. Now, love and infatuation are like twins. You can't always tell the difference between those two. But when you like something or someone and you love something or someone, they're miles and miles and miles apart from one another. When you're in love with someone, you think about them all the time. You consider their feelings when you're making decisions about yourself. And it's not because you're whipped. It's because you love and care about them enough to know that the things that you do will somehow impact them if they're that much of a part of your life. And people we like don't hold those kinds of places and positions in our lives. We like them, but they're not sitting on the front row in the auditorium. They're in the auditorium, but they're not on the front row or on the stage. So when you're in love with someone, it can you physically miss them. You have a yearning for them. You have, your brain is fed a stimulant when you're in love. You know, it affects. That's why some people, they call it love sick. It can literally, physically take a toll on the mind and the body. So you can know. I tell you what, you might not be able to describe it, but you'll know it when you feel it.
Okay.
I'm going to put another one of these questions out that keeps flashing up here. They want to know. They want to know when you're in a long-distance relationship and you assist, one of you is assisting and financially taking care of the other one, And when you may want to know, what is the obligation of the other partner in the long-distance relationship? Because for some reason, whenever they go to visit, they get there, they spend tons and tons of money, they pay tons and tons of bills, but they get there, there's not a meal prepared. And if they even remotely look like they're going to ask for sex, it's an argument about, do you think every time you come here we're supposed to be having sex?
Wow.
So they want to know, you know, if they're holding on to their bargain and their obligations in the relationship, you know, what is the obligations of the other partner? It's not, and they put in bold print, it's not like they're here to help clean anything in the house or do any housekeeping or anything, and I'm keeping them, and they don't have to work. So what is their obligation to me as a partner in the relationship? And this is a long-distance relationship. So, Janet, I'm going to let you jump on that one first.
Ooh, I don't know. Why are you going to let me jump on that one? I do not know. Because, honey, I don't understand why they even tolerate that. I mean, some things, I mean, you could say what, you know, their obligation. I can say what the least that they should be doing. I could say that, but if that person is not doing it, and if it's not in them to do, it does not matter. That's something that a person, you know, I like a person that is all natural. However you are, baby, be that. I want you to be royally yourself. You know, whatever that is for you, that's what I want to see. Because if I have to come to you and say anything outside of who you are and say, you know, at least, you know, baby, I thought you would do this or do that or whatever. Since I'm doing that, I really would have wanted you to do this. But if that's not a part of that person or who that person is, you're making that person, it's like they'll become mechanical. It's like, well, let me go ahead on and do this because I don't want her saying. It's not coming from the heart. And I just can't, I mean, me personally, I cannot do a relationship where somebody is not coming from their heart. They're doing things because they feel obligated to do it. Well, let me go ahead on the door. Let me get up. If I don't do this, then I got to hear her mouth. No, I don't want that. It's not coming from you, from your heart, and this is something that you want to do, showing, you know, gratitude of attitude. And just saying, this is my way of appreciating. This is my baby. She does this, she does that, and I appreciate her so much. I have no other means or way of showing it. So, of course, when she comes or whatever the case may be, I'm going to let her have it. You know what I'm saying? But to sit
right
back and how dare you say, do you think? You know what I'm saying? That right there kind of did something to me. So I'm saying this as sweetly as I possibly can. You know, I just think, I don't really know what to say. I mean, I know what the person should be doing and what they could be doing, but to say that is irrelevant if it's not in that person to do. Because something that comes natural for you, you're just going to do it. Nobody has to coach you and prompt and pry you to do anything, especially when you love somebody. That I have to question that love that person has for them. Because when you love somebody, that's something that you want to do everything that you can possibly do to please this person. I don't care what it is. I mean, within reason. You want to do something to make this person feel whole. Like, baby, I got you. You know, no, I know I'm not able to do this or do that, whatever. Now I want you to know that I appreciate everything that you do and some. And what the little things. It's the little things that matter. You know, so to say what this person should be doing or could be doing, they could be doing a lot of things, but it's irrelevant for me to say that if it's not in that person to do naturally. Personally, I don't think I would tolerate that for, I don't know how long they've been together, but first of all, I'm not doing a long-distance relationship. That's first and foremost. So, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't answer that question. I don't even know if I answered it or not. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm going to say.
Back to you, Hope.
I'm going to say, and I'm sure when I put this out, hopefully you'll write and give me a response to it. Was there some conversation or discussion? Because, you know, sometimes people work out relationships, especially long-distance relationships, like business deals. So was there a discussion, you know? Was it a discussion about, you know, when you were keeping them? That's what I call it, you know, you have a kept woman. So when you're keeping them, what their obligations were or what they said their obligations were in return, as opposed to they're just taking and feeling like there is nothing, you know, like it's almost like you're parenting the way you wrote it. It seems like you're parenting and you're giving an allowance out to your kid.
Mm-hmm.
So because most people know you don't get something for nothing. So, you know, what was the, you know, the guidelines or what was the discussion? How did you guys lay this out on the table? And is she still holding up to her end of the bargain? Now, with regard to you coming into town for visits, you know, do you send for her sometimes when she comes in, or how does that work when you're in town? Do you stay together? And I would ask, you know, is it that hard to make a meal? You know, your partner is coming into town. Is it that difficult to have something for them to eat when they get there, you know, to have a meal prepared? It's not an everyday thing. It's an on an occasion kind of thing, and they're not there very long. So is that too much for them to expect, you know, or should you have any expectations at all because you're giving them money? What, I don't know what all of the parameters were as to how you set it out, but I will say this. Most people, I know some people who are caretakers, and caretakers do things because that's who they are, and it makes them feel good. It strokes their ego, and it makes them feel a certain way. So, you know, if they're not getting anything at all from the person, that's perfectly fine, because what gives them the pleasure is doing those things for that person or doing those things for someone. If your intent was when you gave something to her that you were supposed to get something back in return, whatever it is, if you think that if it's nothing more than the first night you get there, her to have a meal on the table and make sure you get the big piece of chicken and give you sex one of the days that you're there, you guys are sexually intimate. If that was your expectation and you put that on the table and she's not holding up to her end of the bargain, then I think you need to go back to the table and negotiate. Because, you know, the way you put it out there, it made it seem like you guys had a deal and she's reneging on the deal. Hopefully you'll write back and give us a little bit more so we can answer you better if we're not answering your question. But as far as shouldn't you get certain things again, you should. If she cares about you,
mm-hmm.
she should, and it shouldn't have anything. It shouldn't be contingent on the fact that you're taking care of her. It should be just because she feels enough about you and cares enough about you and loves you enough to make sure that, you know, some things, she's doing some things that make you happy or that bring you joy. So I don't know if we're answering your question, because it's kind of hard to answer that because we don't know all the parameters. And like I said, I'll keep my eye out to see if you add anything else to it. Anyone out there listening have any comments to that question? Okay.
Well, okay, I got a question. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you're done with that one.
Yes.
I was talking to somebody, and, well, actually, it's an old friend of mine, and she was talking about having children, you know, they're younger. And having children, she's a stud, and her wife can't have children, so they really wanted children between the two of them, and she was more concerned about what people would have thought about her as a stud being pregnant and carrying that child versus seeing it as, okay, I'm still a woman and we're doing this, for, you know, this is going to be our family or whatever. And she was wanting to know what I thought about that. My thing is, if that's something that the both of you had talked about and that's something that you want to do, I mean, I wouldn't worry about what other people have to say about it. Nobody, I mean, who's to say that just because you're a stud or a masculine identified woman or whatever the case may be, that you cannot birth a child if you so choose to? You know, that's where the stigma and all of this other stuff comes up. Well, you're not really this and you're not really that, you know, or whatever. So I don't even know how to even put this in a question, or even if it is a question. I just wanted to put that out there to say that how in our community it just seems so judgmental about so many things, and they forget about, you know, the big picture of it all, you know. Embracing and loving, and everything should not be about, you know, nobody is trying to be, a stud is not a man. That's the first thing. So she has a body, or, you know, if she to bear children, and if that's something she wants to do, whether she does it, I don't know how, you know, she didn't go into how they were planning on doing it or whatever, but that was something that they planned on doing. They already, you know, picked the person and all this kind of stuff or whatever. But my thing is that, you know, we should really not be so consumed with people's decisions that they make for their own personal lives. You know, I mean, these people love each other, you know, and so I don't understand why people want to judge, be so judgmental. Oh, no, well, that couldn't be me, and I wouldn't be doing that because I'm not, you know, all this kind of stuff or whatever. I'm just saying that I just wish that the lesbian, the LGBTQ community was a little bit more understanding, a little bit more, you know, wasn't so judgmental, because we get upset when people on the outside, you know, don't take us seriously and say all kinds of evils against us, but we do it ourselves. We do it ourselves all the time, you know, and I just think that, you know, sometimes, mind your business. If it does not affect you, and if it does not hurt you, and it, you know, why do you even care? My, you know, just to say, is it a problem for a stud or a naturally identified woman to be carrying a child? Is that an issue? Is that really an issue with people?
Well, I will tell you that it is such a sore spot in the lesbian community that it is almost like a needle in the eye, which means it can become extremely ugly and painful. Because the lesbian community, especially the Black lesbian community and the Latino lesbian community, has so many stereotypes that they try to overcome socially in society, even as a race, that all carries over into the lesbian community in many shapes, forms, and fashions. And when you try to emulate what is perceived as normal, and you start using the stud and femme dichotomy as if it's a male-female dichotomy,
mm-hmm.
then you run into those mental blocks where people can't fathom seeing a stud or a butch pregnant, because you never see a man pregnant. And so
right.
It becomes an issue for them because you're carrying yourself like a man, you call yourself bruh and dude, and you're doing all of that stuff, and now you're pregnant. And I think some of it has to do with how studs have classified and defined themselves and allow the loudest voices to say that's what a real stud is, and those that aren't the real studs are sitting back quietly because they're actually the majority and not the minority, but the minority is the one that's always speaking. So they have set up the guidelines and the boxes mm-hmm. for what a stud is and what a butch is.
Yeah.
And so when you step outside of that, I mean, you see it all the time in New York. You see studs pregnant all the time in New York.
Mm.
It's not a surprise. You see, as a matter of fact, in one time of the year,
maybe
you might
see
them
with
a husband.
Maybe they just got a
or in the summer they have a woman. You know, you never know what you got.
Yeah.
But New York is New York, and
right.
you know anything goes, and you see a whole lot of things, and you get an eye opening to different ways. But when you get into smaller areas or areas where there's only one type of lesbian relationship, and all of the others are frowned upon, and that's even femme on femme. And stud-on-stud relationships, they look at that as if, you know, there's something that's not so wholesome and natural and pure
right.
about
yeah.
that with being a lesbian, which is ridiculous because
yeah.
as long as it's still two women, it's a lesbian
yeah.
relationship.
No.
Yeah.
I don't
so,
knock any of them. I just, you know, yeah.
I say that, like you stated, not so much them mind their business, but you go ahead and mind yours. That's your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's your relationship. You do what you want to do. You do what's going to bring joy into your lives, into your relationship, and you also
right.
do what you, whatever you dreamed your family to be, whatever you need to do in order to have that come true, and as long as you are both in agreement with that, do you. And don't
exactly.
care about what they're saying because they're not going to buy one box of Pampers or one can of formula.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not. Since that one can of formula is enough to fill up their gas tank. But I'm just saying that. I think I might ask, I might pose that question to the group. What do you think about, you know, studs who get pregnant and marriage, carrying a child because of their... You know, their wife can't carry it, whatever. I'm going to ask that in a group. I think I will, just to see.
Oh, you're going to get some answers.
Oh, I know I am, but I'm just curious to see what they're going to say. You know, either you got open mind or you're closed mind. I try to remain open minded to things and not be closed minded and say, oh, no, I wouldn't. No, why not? How come? Why has it got to be a problem?
Right.
Their body works, all of their organs works, is there for
right.
a reason to procreate. You know,
well,
however they choose it, you know.
The people
so.
Who are going, some most of the people that are going to have the biggest issue will be those that are fighting who they are, and you know, are saying, you know, that's emasculating her, which I'm still
yeah.
confused at how can a woman be emasculated, but.
Right. I don't get it either, but hey, you know, they come up with all kinds of stuff. That's
yeah,
just, nothing takes away
and,
nothing
and,
from
you.
You
know, because they don't want to have a reminder that they're a woman, they think that they have the right to tell that other stud that she shouldn't want to be reminded that she is a woman. And there is no greater reminder of being a woman
yeah.
than to be pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Than to give birth.
And to have a period,
and,
have a cycle every
yeah.
month, which I don't have on
yeah.
anymore. I'm
they
done with it,
too.
And I'm so glad about it. But, yeah,
you know,
so they're constantly reminding
you.
They come in there
you
being
know,
all hard and trying to be all, and then they come
right.
in there with a box of tampons at the cash register. Sit down
well,
somewhere.
Well, you know, some of them will not
yes.
go to that store and get it. And you have those that won't go to the gynecologist to be checked.
Oh, no,
And we're dying. With ovarian cancer, and we're coming up with all kinds of issues, vaginal issues, because we don't want to recognize and deal with the fact that we're women. There's been this whole movement over the past 10 years where they're, you know, trying to get studs and male-identified women to get into gynecologists, to go have
wow.
breast exams, to go have pap smears so that they can live
wow.
a longer and more productive life and not perish
mm-hmm.
from this earth with cancer because they don't want to identify as women, and that's a whole nother topic and a whole nother show.
That is,
do a whole a month on that, and still not cover all of the issues that we have in the community with regard to that.
Yeah,
but
that is so true.
With what you said, I would say, if that's what they want to do, do it. I'm happy for them. You know, they want children, and I mean, sisters do it for one another.
Know,
mothers do it for their daughters. Diana Ross had a baby for her daughter.
Right. Yeah. So but she's 36. She wants to do it before she get 40 years old, and she said they want children, but they want their own. They want it to be. They don't want to adopt. I said, well, hey, then do it. If that's what you want to do, do it. You know, even and there's never been a time in my life that I ever knew or felt feminine. I just didn't. Even as a child, even as a little kid, I act like a little boy, even though I was a girl, and I knew I was a girl. I knew that. And being raised and brought up in a Pentecostal strict home, you know, where, you know, everything was Jesus, 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 you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I went through the formality of all of that, you know, but I was trying to be me and trying to be somebody else at the same time of who they expected me to be. But, you know, through it all, in spite of all of that, because I flip-flopped with my, you know, sexuality, I was like going back and forth all the time, was struggling with it due to, you know, to the church, the traditional church that I grew up in. I ultimately got married, you know, birthed two children. My first son, he passed away. He would have been 33 years old this year. My baby boy, he's 26, just turned 26 years old. I have no regrets about any of that. You know what I'm saying? And my husband that I married in 1989, he knew something was different about me. He knew that. So whenever he would get mad and hostile and we get into this argument or whatever the case may be, he would throw it in my face. You know, you want to act like a man, I'll treat you like one. You know, well, I'm sorry, my insurance ain't going to pay for no sex change or whatever. But I've never said anything to him about anything, but I can't, you know, your mannerisms and who you are, it shows and it shines. You can't help that. That's not something that I could do. For me to try to put on a dress, skirt, whatever, put on some heels, I was walking, acting like a gay boy or something. I don't know. You know, it just didn't come natural for me. You know, I did it, you know, but then when I got comfortable with myself and didn't care what people thought about me or how they felt about me, you know, I became who I was. I was at a crossroad in my life. When I became at a crossroad in my life, I didn't care anymore what people thought about me. I did not care. It didn't matter to me. The only thing that mattered to me was me, my happiness. That was it.
Right.
So I cut all my hair off. I cut that perm on my hair. So my hair had been natural ever since 2000. You know, and I was like, look, I don't care about none of that. I'm not trying to be sitting up in no beauty shop for 2 hours and, you know, trying to get this done and trying to go going through a facade feeling like I'm in a masquerade, doing a masquerade. You know, it was just so not me. It was not me. But it was just to keep people from talking about me or making them feel like, well, see, yeah, I'm not doing that. You know, because one thing I've learned is that if you're not living in your truth, you know, if you're not being who you are or whatever, you cannot expect nobody else to. We always hollering and crying about, we just want somebody to be real. Can you just be real? Keep it real with me? But if you're not keeping you real with you, how do you expect somebody else to be real with you, with who they are?
Right.
That's hypocritical. You know?
Right.
So all the way around the board, I've learned to love and accept people. I don't care who they are. You know what I'm saying? I like to live in a world where we all can just coexist. But it's not, you know, that's not the world we live in, because you're always going to have people who are judgmental about whatever somebody does. You know what I'm saying? We have to understand, too, us being the people that live in the United States of what they call America, you know, we're used to being, you know, doing things a certain way. We're so westernized, and our thinking is really westernized. And so when somebody else comes with a different type of culture, that's, you know, their culture, we frown upon that because it's not something that we're accustomed to. you know, like they got grown men marrying 13-year-old kids, babies, children, you know.
Right.
But in their custom, that child is a woman. Once she have a period, a cycle, she's now a woman. She's not a child anymore, you know. And so over here, we call it pedophilia. That's a pedophile,
yep,
that mess with somebody who's not 18. You know what I'm saying? So we have to allow people to be genuinely who they are or whatever. I'm just me. I'm going to always be me. If you want to have a baby and be pregnant, I mean, you know, I don't care what you call yourself. You're still a woman. You're a woman first before you're anything else. You are a woman. Get your body checked. There's no need for you to be going, walking around here, you know, 20 years. Have you never been been to a gynecologist to be seen and your body is rotting out on the inside and you walk around here looking for a woman? Get out of my face. You know, some things we have to just know. Some things, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell us that certain things we just need to do. Somebody asked me one time, said, Janet, I want to ask you something, but I don't want you to be, you know, take it the wrong way or be, you know, offended by it. I'm like, no, just ask me because I'm not sensitive like that. But that person asked me if I was a transgender. I said, huh? why would you ask me that? Why would you? I said, I'm not offended, but I just want to know. I'm curious why you would ask me that. I said, because your voice is really heavy. You have a really, really heavy voice, and I was just wondering if you were taking any type of hormones. Absolutely not. Janet is not taking any hormones. I'm sorry. People have been saying I have a heavy voice ever since I was 6 years old. Of course, it wasn't this heavy, but, you know, I used to try to mask my voice as a child because I didn't want nobody to give a connection of, you know, even though I was a boyish kid. But, you know, lesbianism, I didn't know the word lesbian at that time, but I knew, you know, I heard the word gay before. You know what I'm saying? But in my way of growing up, you didn't see that kind of stuff all. You didn't see that kind of, like you see it now, women and two men. You didn't see that. And I wanted to be, all Janet wanted to do is be loved and be accepted by people. That's all I wanted to do. So if I felt like something that I was doing was going to cause people not to like me, then I didn't do it. But I couldn't help the way I walk. I couldn't help the way I talk. I couldn't help the way I dance. I couldn't help the way I, any of the things I did, everything was on a real masculine level. I didn't know how to switch and all that. I didn't want to. I didn't care about that kind of stuff, you know. So, but when that person asked me that, and I told him, no, I'm not. You know, I just have a heavy voice. You know, I didn't got used to people calling me and calling me sir and stuff like that. And I'm not a sir. I'm a ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry, but then they end up calling me sir again before the conversation is over. But anyway, I don't know where it was going. So I'm gonna shut up right now.
No,
I don't think I asked a question. I was just talking.
No, you stayed on task. But I hope that we did put enough out there to assist your friend. And just tell her, you know, just, you know, if that's what they want, go ahead,
uh-huh,
and, you know, be full force in it and be happy. And enjoy the whole process and procedure, however it's done, because that's always the other question. Well, she going to sleep with the man? It's not your business.
Right.
So, and that's something that's between her and her partner. So
exactly.
I'm gonna take this last question that was sent to me. They said we talk about love, as if it's such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience, and all they know of love is that it has caused them pain and hurt in some form or fashion. Why do we have such a great outlook on love, and why has love been so fleeting and so horrible towards her?
That's sorry. It's sad, but love, first of all, love itself does not hurt. People abuse love, and the things that they do, their actions, cause pain, not love. Love itself does not hurt. It doesn't. It's a beautiful feeling, you know, and the sad thing is, once sometimes for some people, once they find out that you really, really love them and they see that, some people take advantage of it. They do. You know, and the first thing they say is, well, I know she loves me. She's not going anywhere. It's okay if I do this or whatever. They just start to take you for granted, which is why a lot of people don't want to. They never want to really express their feelings, their emotions, because they don't want to be taken advantage. They don't want to be taken advantage of. Loving yourself does not hurt. I would never tell nobody that. But people, they demonstrate love through their spirit, through who they are. They demonstrate love, and that's how a person can see love. Love is not something you can see, but it's an attribute that you can, that you know, from what people do, the things that they do, and how they show you attention and affection and, you know, attentiveness, and all of those things are being shown through love, the acts of love. And just like those people can show you things through the act of love, they can also show you things through the acts of deceit and hate. So you have to learn how to separate it. The fact that you love a person does not mean that that person will never do anything to hurt you. But that person did something to hurt you, not love. Love didn't do it, because love does not operate in certain manners. Now, love, what love will do, it will do some things to teach you, you know, certain things or whatever, but to cause you devastation and pain and agony and all this kind of stuff, you cannot blame that on love, because people do things, whether they step out on you, whether they, you know, go behind your back and do certain things or whatever in a deceitful manner or whatever, that was somebody that you love, or somebody that you fell in love with. But that is not the act of love. Love doesn't do that. The person is to blame for that, not love. You don't blame love for things that people do, because now they're acting in a negative. They're acting, what they're acting out of is not the spirit of love. They're acting out of spirit of whatever it is that they're doing, whether it's maliciousness, whether it's deceit, whether it's anger, or I'm going to get you back or whatever. They're acting out of that, not love. Do not confuse it. You can't confuse it. And once you understand that, that love don't do that, just say that this person is acting out in another way, that I can't blame that on love. Love don't do that. You know, it just so happens that your love that you have is for that person. So regardless of whatever they do, you know, I don't know, I feel like I'm rambling. I don't even know if I'm making sense. But
no, you're making
love
sense.
Don't hurt. Huh?
You're okay. Making sense.
All right. Well,
and I'll just piggyback on that a little. I agree with Janet with saying that it is not the love that is causing you the hurt and the pain. It is indeed the individual who is not strong enough to say that it's them that's giving that to you and putting it under the name and guise of love. Love doesn't have the potential to be able to hurt, because love is not something. Love is a verb, so therefore it's an action. It has no movement. It has no anything without us bringing the action to it. So how we show that love and how we give that love speaks more about us than it does about love itself. Because love has no movement. Love does absolutely nothing but love. Love is even in love with love. And so, therefore, it can't do the harm. And as Janet said, that wasn't love. And it's a shame that love gets such a bad rep, because love is such a beautiful and good thing. I don't think we bask in that love always. It's a perfect thing. We don't bask in that love is something that can evade you, and only we can have it because we have a secret formula for it. What we do have is a belief in love, and a belief that love exists, and the belief that everyone should be loved, and a belief that everyone deserves to be loved. And that's what love and full enlightenment is all about, being able to receive love, being able to give love, not only to yourself but to others, and allowing that love to grow and blossom to help reveal that authentic person that you truly are. And that is what it is that gives us the spirit and the excitement to talk about love in the manner upon which that we speak about it. You should demand that you are loved in the manner upon which the way you want to be loved, and not just accept any old bootleg love that someone may want to give to you. And that's my response for you tonight, and that's the show for us tonight. And once again, I want to thank everyone for dialing in and saying it's always a pleasure, and we do this for you, and we do this for love. We'll see you next week, and have a friend to dial in along with you, because we're putting out some good stuff. And if you love somebody and you want to help them, what better way to help than to bring them to the show and let them get some of this iron and bring their iron and sharpen iron against iron. You guys have a wonderful night and enjoy yourself and have a safe weekend. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.